Once Upon a Time Lord by Gabriel Nightshadow and Time Lord. University of Texas at Austin, Tuesday, October 14th, 1980, 4 o'clock p.m.
"Wake up, Professor Graham," said the young college student as he shook the dozing Time Lord.
"What? Oh, I must have dozed off while grading these exam papers," said Time Lord as he raised his head off the desk and put on his black framed glasses. "Sorry about that."
"I just wanted to stop by and say how much I've enjoyed your course so far, Professor," said the young man. "Although my true love is computers, I've always had a special interest in astronomy. One day, I hope to actually make it up into space."
"I see," replied the Time Lord. "I'm glad to hear that you found my lectures to be interesting. As you know, this is the first course I've taught since coming to this university."
"I found your work on Ohio State University's SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, program quite fascinating," said the young man.
"Do you think we will have success in finding concrete proof of extraterrestrial life in our lifetime?"
"Oh, I have no doubt," replied Time Lord.
Noticing the Celtic Dragon doublet poking out of his backpack, Time Lord said,
"Ah, I see you have an interest in medieval culture. By any chance, do you belong to the SCA, Society for Creative Anarchism?"
"Why, yes, I do, Professor," replied the young man. "In the SCA community, I am known as Shamino."
"It might surprise you to know that I too belong to the SCA," said Time Lord. "Unfortunately, since moving here from Ohio, I have been too busy to keep up on the latest SCA events."
"Well, as a matter of fact, we're holding a tournament here in Austin this weekend. Here's the time and location," said the young man as he scribbled the details down on a slip of paper and handed it to Time Lord.
"By what name are you referred to in SCA circles, if I may ask?"
"I am known as Hawkwind the Bard," replied Time Lord, as he slipped the slip of paper into his vest pocket.
"I hope to see you there, Professor," replied the young man. "Thank you for the information, young man. But forgive me, I seem to have forgotten your name," said Time Lord.
"That's quite understandable, Professor," replied the young man. "It's such a large class, I wouldn't expect you to remember everyone's names. My name is Richard Garriott."
"A pleasure to make your acquaintance, Mr. Garriott," said Time Lord as he rose and shook Richard's hand. "I will endeavor to regale you and the others with exciting tales of the past at the evening banquet."
"I look forward to it. See you in class on Thursday, Professor," said Richard as he turned and left.
Professor Martin Graham's office. He did not see the big grin on Time Lord's face. Time Lord pulled out his pocket watch and checked the time.
"Oh dear, I'm going to be late for my appointment with Dean Hardman," said Time Lord.
Time Lord straightened out his rumpled brown tweed suit and ran out of his office, slamming the door behind him. As he raced across the campus, Time Lord failed to notice the young woman exiting the campus library. He collided with her. Both of them ended up sprawled on the ground.
"I'm so sorry, miss. I should have watched where I was going," said Time Lord, extending his hand to help her up.
As soon as Time Lord got a good look at her face, he was suddenly left speechless. Who was this heavenly creature?
"That's all right, Professor," replied the young Thai woman, as she took his hand and pulled her up. "No harm done."
"Do I know you, miss?
Your face seems awfully familiar. You're not one of my students, are you?" "No, I'm afraid not, Professor Graham," replied the woman. "I really wanted to take your class as an elective this semester, but the registrar's office said the class was full."
"That's most unfortunate," said Professor Graham. "I really do wish to make this up to you. I'm on my way to an appointment with Dean Hardman right now, but perhaps I can buy you a cup of coffee later at the Star Cafe."
"That's not really necessary, Professor Graham," replied the woman. "But I really would like to hear about your work on Ohio State University's SETI project. How does 5:30 p.m. sound?"
"That should do nicely. I should be done with Dean Hardman by then," said Time Lord.
As the young Thai woman turned to leave, Time Lord said,
"Wait, miss, I forgot to ask your name."
The young woman turned and said,
"My name is Sharia Campbell."
She smiled at Time Lord, then turned and walked away. The meeting with Dean Hardman was all a blur. Time Lord couldn't wait to get to the Star Cafe to see Cheria. As he entered the cafe, she beckoned him from a corner booth.
"I'm so sorry for being 10 minutes late. My meeting with Dean Hardman ran longer than expected,"
said Time Lord apologetically.
"That's okay, Professor," replied Cheria. "Let's order."
Cheria summoned a waitress over. The waitress's name tag indicated her name was Gerda. "She looks awfully familiar," Time Lord thought to himself.
"What can I get you to?"
asked Gerda, with a pleasant smile on her face.
"Well, Professor, I understand that you're from Cardiff, Wales. Don't you normally have tea at this time of day?"
asked Cheria.
"Indeed I do," replied Time Lord. "A cup of Welsh brew tea, please. Plus a slice of your wonderful apple pie."
"I'll have a cup of jasmine tea and a slice of apple pie as well," said Cheria.
"Okay, I'll bring your order shortly," said Gerda, who winked at Time Lord as she turned to leave.
Cheria began asking Time Lord questions about his research related to the SETI project at Ohio State University, which Time Lord gladly answered in great detail. During the course of their conversation, Time Lord was able to find out many things about Charissa's personal life. She had been born in a small village in Thailand, but lost her entire family in a flood when she was only an infant. As the sole survivor of her entire village, she was dubbed the Miracle Baby and taken to an orphanage in Bangkok, where she was adopted by a wealthy investment banker, Charles Campbell, and his corporate lawyer wife, Helen, and taken to their home in Dallas, Texas. As an only child, because Helen was unable to conceive or carry a baby to term due to medical complications, Cheria had often dreamed about tales of dragons and knights in shining armor, saving damsels in distress. She developed an interest in medieval culture and became an active member of the SCA, where she was known by the name Caitlin O'Dell, an excellent chef. She was quite adept at preparing medieval dishes and was a pretty good medieval seamstress as well. Cheria also had an interest in astronomy and hoped one day to travel to the stars. She was pursuing dual master's degrees in Asian studies and business administration here at the University of Texas at Austin. The more that Time Lord learned about Cheria, the more he realized that she was the one he had been searching for his entire life. Although Time Lord had been with many women in his 5,000-year existence, he had yet to find one whom he wished to share his life with. Cheria was the one. Time Lord and Cheria did not realize how long they had been talking. 2 hours later, they were suddenly interrupted.
"Hi, Cheria," said a friendly voice.
Both Time Lord and Cheria turned their attention to the young fellow who had stopped by their table.
"Hi, Trevor," replied Cheria. "How goes the preparation for tomorrow night's debate against the University of Texas at Dallas?"
Time Lords recognized the preppy. He was Trevor Montague, head of the university's debate team. A handsome fellow with blonde hair and blue eyes, he was the son of James Montague, a billionaire oilman and a major donor to the university. Time Lord suddenly had an uneasy feeling as Trevor flashed his pearly whites and spoke.
"Just fine, Cheria," replied Trevor. "But remember, I may be captain of the debate team, but you are clearly the smartest member of our team. I was planning on having a late-night supper after the debate of Chez Z. Care to join me?"
"Thank you for the invitation, Trevor, but I have to study for my biochemistry midterm after the debate," said Cheria, much to the relief of Time Lord. "I'll just grab something quick at the dining hall."
"Okay,"
said Trevor, who clearly looked disappointed for a moment. He smiled again and said,
"See you on stage tomorrow evening. The debate begins at 7 o'clock p.m. sharp."
"See you then, Trevor," said Cheria.
As Trevor left, Time Lord was greatly relieved.
"Cheria, my friend Richard told me that there's an SCA tournament being held here in Austin next weekend," said Time Lord. "Would you do me the honor of accompanying me to the event?"
Before Cheria could answer, they were interrupted by Brad Thompson, the handsome, muscular captain of the university's football team.
"Hey, Cheria," said Brad. "After this weekend's game, me and the guys are having a victory party at Kappa Sigma Fraternity House. Care to join us?"
Time Lord was starting to feel really insecure. How could he hope to compete with all of these handsome young men vying for Cheria's affections? Sure, he was wiser and wittier than these young studs, but still, much to Time Lord's surprise, Cheria said, as she winked at him,
"Sorry, Brad, but my boyfriend and I have other plans this weekend."
She reached out and put her hand on top of Time Lord's.
What? Said a stunned Brad. You're not telling me that this old geezer is your boyfriend.
Hey, said an indignant Time Lord, but he was suddenly interrupted by Chiria's gentle kiss.
I'll see you around, Chiria, said Brad as he turned and walked away.
After Brad left, Chiria smiled and said,
I would love to accompany you to next weekend's SCA tournament, Professor.
You don't know how glad I am to hear that. But please stop addressing me as Professor.
You're not my student, replied Time Lord. My name is Martin.
Okay, Martin, said Chiria,
as they continued holding hands and staring into each other's eyes. Time Lord was on cloud 9. A large field somewhere near University of Texas at Austin. Saturday, October 18th, 1980, 9 o'clock p.m. Christopher leapt onto the demon's neck and drew his dragon katana, plunging it deep into the demon's skull. He pulled it straight down his neck and spinal column. The demon roared out in pain. Christopher quickly sheathed his dragon katana as the demon's eyes turned white and its lifeless form began falling. Christopher jumped and fell a short distance before landing right in the saddle as Kiroseth swooped in to catch him. The demon's body crashed into the river with a loud boom as the cheering villagers who had heard all of the loud noise and came out of their homes to observe the entire battle in the sky greeted Christopher and Kiroseth as they landed nearby. Christopher explained to the villagers that the demon was the true culprit and that Kiroseth was a friend. Christopher's wife, Catherine, and his 5-year-old son, Michael, came running. Christopher hugged them both. Michael walked over to Kiroseth and patted him on the nose. Kiroseth smiled, and that is how Christopher Nightshadow met the great black dragon, Kiroseth, and became the first
Dragon Lord.
In time, Christopher Nightshadow would gather together 8 other knights who had bonded with the remaining 8 dragons of legend and formed the Great Council of Dragon Lords, based in Castle Gennar. They would help their liege preserve the peace for the next 150 years. But that is a tale for another evening, my dear friends. The hour grows late, and all of the wine has been consumed. So ends the tale from Hawkwind the Bard. All of the SCA members clapped after Time Lord finished his tale. Later, Shamino approached him and said,
That was a fine tale you told us this evening, Hawkwind. I look forward to hearing more about these dragon lords in the near future.
Many thanks, Shamino, replied Time Lord. Have you met my companion, Caitlin O'Dell?
No, I can't say I've had the pleasure, replied Shamino,
as he bowed to Chiria.
Pray tell, how did the two of you end up together?
Well, you could say it was love at first sight,
replied Chiria, as she held Time Lord's hand and exchanged glances with him.
Hawkwind, you are a very lucky fellow to have such a fine woman as your companion, said Shamino. Do remember to treat her right.
Indeed I shall, Shamino, replied Time Lord. Good evening to you.
After young Richard Garriott had taken his leave, Time Lord turned to Chiria and asked, Did you really mean what you just said?
Of course I did, silly,
answered Chiria.
I would very much like to be your girlfriend.
Whoa, you don't know how happy I am to hear you say that,
replied Time Lord as he took her in her arms and passionately kissed her. Join us next time for part 2 of Once Upon a Time Lord.